This is a podcast for the MA in Online Journalism by Distance Learning at Birmingham City University.
In this podcast, I want to explore a series of what I call the basic principles of web production. These are particularly useful when thinking about online multimedia production, but they also apply to text and anything else online. And I use the phrase basic principles because the word basic is a mnemonic. It's a way of remembering the five key qualities of online production that you need to consider when you're producing content for the web. So the B in basic is for brevity. And this is about basically keeping things brief when you are producing content for the web, whether it's text or video or audio or something else entirely. And there are a number of very concrete reasons for this. Initially, this was partly because of the limited bandwidth of online publishing. So, for example, if you had a dial-up connection and you wanted to watch a video, the longer the video, the longer you would have to wait to download that video. And so the briefer the video, the shorter the video, the better that was in terms of consumption. Now, those bandwidth limitations no longer apply, but there are other qualities of online publishing which do apply. For example, the resolution of a computer screen is much lower than the resolution of a print newspaper, and especially significantly lower than a magazine page. And so because of this reduced resolution, people read much more slowly online. They read actually 25% more slowly, according to Jakob Nielsen's research. And they also only read less than 28% of the words on a screen. So when you factor that in, you have to remember that they are basically physically having to work harder to read the words on a screen than they do have to work to read words on a newspaper or a magazine. And in fact, the difference between newspaper resolution and magazine resolution is a similar reason why magazines are a more effortless read, because literally it is easier for you to read higher resolution text and images in a magazine. So when you're writing for the web, you need to keep things brief, not just in terms of the overall length of your content, but also individual paragraphs. If you look at the BBC's writing style, you'll see that they stick to one idea per paragraph. In fact, a lot of paragraphs will only be one sentence long. And it's a good exercise to look at your own content and think about if you've got any paragraph that's longer than one sentence, is it possible to split that paragraph into more than one paragraph? And look at how the BBC do it. It's actually a very clear language and very simple, more simple than you might otherwise assume. But this week is about multimedia. So what about multimedia? Well, as I said in a previous podcast, because people are quite often consuming multimedia sat at a desk and looking at a monitor, they're going to be less patient with the content that they're watching. Also, they might want to be focus on a particular part of that content, so you might want to split out different parts, which I'll talk about in a minute. But generally, you're also not limited by a particular demand of where this content is going. So you don't necessarily need to fill 3 minutes of airtime. You can give your content as much time or as little time as you think it needs. And that kind of ruthless editing of online content is where I think the brevity really comes in. Any good editor knows that it's about what you take away, and when you've got nothing left to take away, then you've got something really good. That applies to multimedia content online and pretty much everything else. You want to be focusing on the heart of the matter and as brief as possible. So brevity is the B of the basic mnemonic. The A of basic is for adaptability, and this takes two forms. The first form is the adaptability of you as a journalist. You need to be adaptable enough to tell your story using images or words or a map or video or audio or something else. And that adaptability involves making decisions very quickly about what's going to tell a particular story most effectively with the resources that you have to hand, which we've discussed previously with regard to content strategy. The other side of adaptability is about the actual content itself. And this relates to the fact that when you move online, when you publish online, people quite often want to use the information that they have. A really clear example of this is the use of databases in online journalism. The Hurricane Katrina contracts database, for example, is an example of journalism where the publisher has thought about how people might want to use the information that they're gathering for their story. So it's not just about the story, but about making the information behind it adaptable. And that might involve publishing a database, it might involve publishing a spreadsheet, it might involve creating a map. But it also might involve making your media available for other people to adapt for their own purposes. So, for example, if you're interviewing someone, rather than simply publishing a final package which involves the whole interview, that may be 10 minutes long or 30 minutes long, you might want to split that up into smaller chunks that present each of the answers in turn. And so people can recombine those different video clips into their own packages. And you can do this on YouTube, for example, by publishing your video under a Creative Commons license. So when you upload your video to YouTube, you can select either a YouTube license or a Creative Commons license. And this allows other people to use your clip in their work, but also they have to attribute your original authorship to that. Al Jazeera, for example, do this with a lot of their videos, so they allow other people to use their video material in other work. And this not only contributes extra value, but it's also is an act of distribution, because as people do this, they find out about you and they may contribute extra information that you can use in your work. The S of BASIC is for scannability, and this is particularly related to text online, but also is about how people use content online more broadly. And what this relates to specifically is the fact that online, people are quite often task-oriented. In other words, they are looking for something specific. So if you think of a role that search has in online content and how many people find content through search, that gives you an idea of what they actually want from your content. And that might be that they want answers to a particular question, or they want the background to something, or they want to know what's happening. It can be any number of things. But the key thing is that they have a task and they want to complete it. And in order to complete that task, they want to be able to find it quickly, find the information quickly in your content. So, for example, using subheadings in your content makes it easier for them to drill down to the part of your content that contains the relevant information. Using bullet lists can also make your content more scannable. Links are a particularly scannable aspect of content, because people may be looking for value in your content in terms of useful links elsewhere. Quotes are another. Quite often you want to make sure that you indent them. And using all of these features in text will help make it more scannable. In terms of video and audio and other multimedia, you, again, might want to split it up into separate chunks. So if you're doing an interview, as I said, splitting it up into different questions and labelling each clip as such makes it easier for people to scan the content and find the part of it that is most relevant to their search. Now, they might want to also watch the full package or the other clips as well, but the point is that if they're looking for something specific, you want to make it easy for them to find that and to satisfy that first, rather than forcing them to sit through 10 minutes of irrelevant material to get the information that they want. And the sad answer is that they probably wouldn't do that anyway, because they don't know that that content is buried in your multimedia content. So splitting it up in that way makes it easier for others to scan it. The I of BASIC is for interactivity. And the most fundamental level of interactivity in your content is going to be the link. Interactivity is really about thinking about what your user might want to do next once they've read your article or watched your video or listened to your audio and so on. And links here are the most basic way that you're going to fulfill that need and answer that question. So if you've mentioned a particular individual in your video or your podcast, you need to provide a link to more information about that person. If you've mentioned a particular piece of jargon or a scientific term or something that might not be understood by all your audience, you will want to link to an explanation of what that means. If you've referred to any stories, you'll want to link to those. If you've mentioned any documents, you'll want to link to those, and so on. So fundamentally, links are an absolute must for any piece of online content, not just text, but also multimedia content as well. And if you listen to a lot of podcasts, you'll notice quite often that there will be links around that podcast on the website as well. So remember that with multimedia content, the multimedia will more often than not sit on a web page that includes other content as well that might involve text and links and so on. But the link is just one element of interactivity. It may be that your user wants to quiz an expert, and so you might organize a question and answer session or a live chat. It may be that they want to look at the information geographically, and so you plot it on a map. It may be that they want to interrogate the information through a database or a spreadsheet. It may be that they want to add information themselves through a wiki or vote on something through a poll. So there are a number of other ways that you can make it easy for a user to interact with the content. And quite often this is about controlling the time and place of the content, and quite often this is about having an input into the content or controlling the output of the content. The final C, if you like, of the basic principles is actually two C's. It's community and conversation. These are very similar, but they do overlap. And this relates to the idea that users will quite often want to connect with each other around your content or around the issues that it relates to. And they may want to contribute to it as well. So as you produce your multimedia content or your text content, be thinking about community and conversation. Is there a comments facility? YouTube, for example, relies on its for its success, not just on the videos, but on the comments that take place underneath, some of which are notoriously trollish and provocative. But it is a major fact of YouTube's success. If you look at a video blogger like Lauren Luke, who's made a tremendous career for herself out of providing makeup tips online. Part of her success is down to her natural video delivery and her confidence and enthusiasm for her subject. But a large part of her success is also about the way that she's interacted with the 500,000 now subscribers to her channel. And this has led to deals with cosmetics companies. It's led to a regular column in The Guardian and producing video for The Guardian website. And she's a great example of a multimedia producer who's made a career out of a YouTube channel, effectively. And that's due in large part, as I say, to the community that she has developed and the conversation that she has with those. So as you produce multimedia content, think about how you can involve the community in that content. Can you take suggestions for topics that you might discuss or issues that you might cover in the next piece of multimedia? Can you answer questions that people have? Can you provide a space for them to connect with each other and achieve a particular objective related to the issue that you're covering? So think about community and conversation. And those are the five basic principles. We've got brevity, keeping it brief. We've got adaptability, both of you as a journalist and of the content that you produce. We've got scannability, which is about allowing people to find different parts of your content and the particular part that relates to what they're interested in. We've got interactivity, which is about making it possible for the user to do what they want to do with your content next. So linking to extra information, having live chats and things like that. And finally, we've got community and conversation, engaging with the people who used to be an audience but are now an active part of your media project, and also allowing them to communicate with each other as easily as possible.